We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to Friday, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs, and we would like to welcome you to the Refresh Radio broadcast. I haven't mentioned this on the radio probably enough this week, so let me just start off by letting you know tonight at 7 o'clock we're going to be having a prayer meeting in our sanctuary, 7 o'clock. And if you'd like to come intercede for America, intercede for a move of God here in Brevard County, we would like to invite you to come and be a part of that this coming, well, tonight at 7 p.m. So the more the merrier, and, you know, we want to agree together and let God be God. So thank you for tuning in. And like I mentioned, I think it was on yesterday's broadcast, I'm sharing this material. This is not a message that I have preached. This is material I am been putting together. It's been pondering, and you know, you're hearing it for the first time here on the radio. And so I am familiar with the concept that where there are many words, sin is not far from there. And so if you hear something and it doesn't come across the way that I'm intending it in the heart, you know, I pray that you'll bear with me in mercy and grace. And our number, if you have any questions, are 454-4263. My goal in this is not to be tearing people down, but actually to create a desire in them for Jesus Christ to build a solid foundation. And like I said on one of the broadcasts, you know, we need God's word in our heart so that we don't sin against him. His word, like we talked about out of Matthew chapter 7, his word and the application of his word are the foundation of our lives that enable us to survive the storms of life. And so please understand, I'm not here to tear people down. I am here to build them up. And if I can create an awareness of just how desperately we need Jesus at the foundation of our life, then that is my goal. I want to start off today by going to Colossians chapter 3, verse number 5. We touched on this just on yesterday's broadcast. I believe it was, but the clock was running out. And so there are several things that that it describes here that we need to get out of our life. The principle that I am employing here is that if a sinkhole has manifested itself, if it is opened up, then we need Jesus to come in and excavate. Instead of filling things up, filling that void up with just anything and everything, we actually need to say, God, what is your plan for this situation? And would you come and excavate? Would you take out everything that's unstable, everything that is unprofitable, everything that is unholy? I'm about to preach myself right into revival. I in some of my researches, about this is that ancient societies, that they would tend to use sinkholes that opened up. They would just use it as a dump, and they would just pour all of their garbage into there, and that was the way that they got it out of sight. Unfortunately for them, what they didn't realize, that in doing so, they were poisoning their own water supply. And all of that garbage that they were pouring back in was actually killing them when they accessed their drinking water. And so it is very crucial, it is very vital for us to deal with the foundation of our life and allow God to say, you know what, instead of there being no design, I'm going to ask God to implement his divine plan for my life, that he is going to create his destiny in my life. And just some of the interesting things that I've discovered was that if a sinkhole is not dealt with properly, that it will tend to occur again and again and again. And each time it gets a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. And so we need to say, you know what, we're going to go down and we're going to find bedrock, and we are going to create something in this environment here that is going to be beautiful instead of destructive. We are going to build something that's going to be a trophy of God's grace. And, you know, that's one of the things that I absolutely love about Jesus, is he takes lives that some people would look at and say they're completely and totally of no value. And he says, you don't understand. There was a woman who came and presented an offering that the men of that town wouldn't even look at. And yet she came in and presented Jesus with an alabaster box that was worth a year's wages. And she did that just because she was so grateful for what he had done in her life. She was preparing him because he was getting ready to pay the price for the beauty that he was going to create in her life. You can be a thief on the cross in your last moments of life and cry out and say, you know, God in me dwells no good thing, but I know that you are able to come and deliver me from this body of death, or this pit hole of death, if you will. And thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Jesus is a redeeming God. So one sinkhole in Louisiana that swallowed an entire lake, it swallowed 11 barges, just like they were rubber ducks. when the sinkhole opened up, it didn't matter how large the ship was, everything got consumed. And so we don't want that for your life. God doesn't want that for your life. Let's get into the Word of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 5, it says, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Another translation says greed. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. So those are things that we have pretty much talked about. We dealt with some of those in 1 Peter chapter 4. But now, let's go on to verse number 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. You were created by God. You were created when he created man. He said, it is very good. You and I, we were meant to be a skyscraper testament to his saving grace, a pillar of righteousness, a pillar in the house of God. That is your purpose. And so every person that you encounter is a work in progress. Some of them, the construction has not even started yet, but God desires to build a foundation in their life and make a trophy of their grace. Don't look at the drug addict and say that they are hopeless. In fact, don't ever look at anybody and say that they are hopeless, because you insult the redemptive capabilities of Jesus when you do that. Let's look at verse number 8. We talked about some of the things before. Now it says, these are things that need to be excavated out of our life in order for the foundation to be built that God can begin to build on. Anger. God's people are not meant to be going around filled with anger and filled with wrath. But the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And so we need to make sure that when we have come to Jesus and say, God, I give you title deed to my life, and I ask you to fill this, to displace everything that is not of you, and to build upon it the temple of the Holy Spirit that you long to occupy. Okay? Read Revelation, and you will see what a beautiful, beautiful life that God can make. In fact, it says that the gates of the city are made out of single pearls. I want to talk to somebody right now because your life has been filled with pain. Well, the formation of a pearl takes place because a grain of sand makes its way someplace where it was not supposed to be. It becomes an irritant inside that oyster and or clam or whatever it is. And then it's that creature oyster surrounds it with what's called mother of pearl. It's a soft, soothing substance. It provides a bit of a cushion, and then that gets hard, and then that becomes an irritant. And so there's a fresh application of mother of pearl, and another, and another, and another. I read about a man who went to a seafood restaurant here recently. And he ordered a bowl of some sort of seafood chowder, and he came out with something hard. He bit down on it. Come to find out, it was a very rare type of pearl that was worth several $1,000s. That a creature decided, you know what, I am just going to continue to apply the grace over this and make it bearable, and it creates something of great value. And the Word of God describes it as the gates into heaven. And so that's where you get the term pearly gates. You and I, if we will apply the grace of God to the hurts of our life and get rid of all of this stuff, then what it will do, instead of driving people away from the kingdom and driving them away from us and causing things and people to get sucked into our sinkhole, what instead is, it will create a gateway into the kingdom of God. So I got so much to try and get into this broadcast today. Anger, wrath, malice. Some people just don't like people. You know, we have the term malware. It's things that get infected onto a computer that are just bad. Blasphemy, where they speak evil about. Now, listen, the term blasphemy is, in its very simplest form, means to speak evil of. To speak evil of. And so there are some people who speak evil, and primarily they speak evil about things that they do not know and they do not understand. There are a lot of people who have language that they use that they speak evil about people because they don't know what those people are going through. They speak evil. Listen, one of the most popular pastimes in America is to speak evil about politics, whether you're Democrat or Republican. You know, when the other party is in power, you know, people love to speak evil about it. And what I've come to realize is that you and I do not know everything that is going on. So instead of speaking evil about those things, why don't we do what the scripture says? And that is pray for our leaders, pray for our president, pray for our congressman. That doesn't mean that I'm going to agree with everything that they do, but I instead of speaking evil about them, I'm going to pray for them because they need the power of God to be able to deal in a godly manner. So much pressure in this world for our politicians to behave in a corrupt and ungodly manner, to proceed with the wisdom of this world instead of the wisdom of heaven. And we need to be praying for them, that God would help them. And so, filthy language out of your mouth. You know, my wife and I, we tried to go see a movie here several weeks ago. It was back before my eye thing, and the language was just so bad. We actually got up and walked out. We didn't get very far into the movie at all because the language was just something we didn't want to subject ourselves to. Well, not only that, I don't want to subject my mouth to it. You know that using filthy language is like using mouthwash that comes from your toilet bowl. That sounds kind of gross, but it really is. I mean, that's what it is. What do you want that offensive stuff coming out? You know what it's actually doing? It's revealing to other people the condition of your heart. when we are using filthy language, the Bible very clearly says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so whenever there's filthy language that is coming out of our mouth, it is manifesting the depravity and the sinkhole nature of our own heart. And it says, do not lie to one another. That's another thing. Deception is indicative of a sinkhole where Jesus is the Spirit of truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. If you are going to have a foundational structure that is going to support a skyscraper or a pillar of grace for the kingdom of God, it has to be built upon the truth and the truth of God's word. So those are some things there that we wanted to share. Now, real quickly, let me before we get into more scriptures, let me tell you some things that can cause a faulty foundation to manifest. A sinkhole develops a lot of times when there is not enough rain and things are very dry and arid. Things begin to shrivel up inside. And a lot of times, people that you and I will encounter in our own selves, if we're not abiding in the Holy Spirit and manifesting the fruit of the Holy Spirit, whenever we go through a dry season spiritually, we will begin to reveal our foundation as faulty because we are going through such a dry season. It's manifesting that we're not spending sufficient time in the presence of God. You have an opportunity to correct that today, right now. You have an opportunity to correct that this weekend. Don't allow the enemy to isolate you and cut you off from the life-giving capabilities that Jesus Christ has. He is life. The other thing, and this seems kind of contrary, I've always scratched my head about this, and that is this, that the other time, another time when a faulty foundation manifests itself is when there is too much rain. So it can manifest when there's not enough rain, you're going through a very dry or a very difficult season. It can also manifest, and in fact, most of the time, more often than not, it manifests during a time of abundance or a time of blessing. There are more people who can survive during difficult seasons than can survive blessing. You have to have a proper foundation in order to survive the blessing of God. We're going to get into that some more when we get out from underneath the substructure, the foundational element of this filling the void that we tend to have in our life, and when we talk about what God is able to do and raise us to new heights. It can manifest when things are going difficult, and more than likely it will manifest if we are going through a time of bounty or a time of blessing. It was during those times that Israel fell away from God. When they went through a time of difficulty, they were driven into the presence of God, got the foundation repaired, and immediately started the cycle all over again. And a third source of foundational flaws that would create a natural sinkhole is if there is a man-made error. That's what happened to that lake in Louisiana back in 1980. Somebody drilled a hole someplace where they weren't supposed to drill a hole. They were drilling for oil or gas or something, and the geological assumptions that they made were incorrect. Some people have been traumatized by other people. So I remember several years ago I was discussing a situation. There was somebody who was obviously behaving very badly. It wasn't at our church, and we were discussing, this person and I were discussing it, and the person said, the first question I ask whenever I see that somebody does something like that is, why do they walk the way that they walk? In other words, what has happened to them? What trauma has taken place in their life? What experience did they have that has radically affected what they are able to do? You see, every person you come in contact with, they have a background, they have a history, and it's going to manifest itself. In the Word of God, I'm going to touch base on some of these. And In the Word of God, in John chapter 4, Jesus, it said he must needs, he had a necessity to go through the Samaritan village. While he was there, he encountered a woman. She had a faulty foundation. She had a one disappointment over another, one collapsed relationship over after another, after another, after another. She was had been married 5 times, and by this time, the guy that she was with was number 6, and he wasn't her husband. And Jesus he doesn't condemn her at that point in time. In fact, he doesn't condemn her at all. In fact, when Jesus was ministering to the woman caught in the act of adultery, he said, "Where are your accusers?" By the way, he said, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone." And from the oldest to the youngest, they began to walk away because they realized that maybe they didn't have adultery going on in their life, but he who's guilty of one violation of the law was guilty of the whole thing. There was only one person that day who was qualified to throw the first stone, and that was Jesus. He was perfect. He had not sinned. He had a rock solid foundation because he is the foundation. He is the Word of God. He was living out the Word of God. He came to fulfill the law and the prophets. And he said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And she said, They're nowhere, Lord. And he said, "Neither do I condemn thee." And then here's the part that many in this society fail to understand. He says this, "Go and sin no more." In other words, I'm refusing to condemn you because the situation that you are dealing with is the same situation that every person on the planet deals with. And that is, you have a sinkhole, a void in your life, and I've come to fulfill it. And now I want to empower you to live a solid, biblical, righteous, holy, fulfilling life under my design and under my purpose. And he begins to build her up. This woman goes back. She wins an entire city. Why did Jesus have to go through that city? Because there was a city that needed to be won, and it needed to be won by a woman who had a faulty foundation, a sinkhole personality, and she transformed an entire city because Jesus began to build the kingdom in her life. Jesus said upon this rock to Peter, "I will build my church." What rock was that? "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That is the rock. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, allow him to become the foundation of your life. Allow the Word of God to not only come into your ears, but be lived in your daily life, and allow him to build the kingdom in your life to the point that the gates of hell, can you imagine that the gates of hell will not prevail? Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." If you want the sinkholes to disappear from your life, don't try and conceal your sin. Confess it. Get it out in the open before you and God. He already knows all about it. Forsake that sin, and you will have mercy. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 14, it says, "Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity." And so you and I, if we have a heart that is hardened to the gospel and hardened to the mission of God, hardened to other people, it's indicative that there is a faulty foundation in our life, and it's going to lead to our own downfall. Make sure that you have a tender heart before God. In Proverbs 29:18, it says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law." You see, a sinkhole has no parameters. It is unrestrained. It just sucks in everything around it. You know, we talked about a barge, an entire lake, houses, people, cars, you name it. It just sucks everything in. And that happens because there is no revelation. There is no revelation. And so we don't want that. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 15 says this, "The leech has two daughters, give and give. There are three things that are never satisfied, four never say enough, the grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not satisfied with water, and fire never says enough." Almost all of those things are destructive. Almost all those things are lifeless. And so you and I, in fact, the leech that says give and give, it wants to suck the very life out of you. For the past 3 days, I've been talking from Paul, from the Word of God, and saying that apart from Jesus Christ, every one of us has a sinkhole in our life, a great void, a chasm, a longing that needs to be filled. Some people respond by just trying to fill the void without any design, without any discretion. They don't have any boundaries. They just want the emptiness and the loneliness to go away. Today, I want to ask you, would you allow God to build some boundaries and parameters in your life? You see, there are some people that they get on the air and they proclaim no boundaries, no limits. And folks, I will be honest with you. I cannot find that in the Word of God. I believe that we are supposed to be growing. I believe that we're supposed to be expanding. But I believe that God is the one that has an intentional design for your life. His commandments, His laws, those are not arbitrary. Those are boundaries that you and I are not supposed to violate. And so I want to close today on Friday by talking about the same thing that I did on Wednesday, I believe it is, Romans 7:18. For I know that in me dwells no good thing. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Thank God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I pray that if you have, during this time, have seen that there's a flaw in your foundation, that you will join me in crying out today and asking God to repair the foundation of your life, because He's going to build a glorious temple on it. We're going to talk about that more next week. Let's just close in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, God, that you are no respecter of persons. There's not one person that is too far gone. God, nothing is too difficult for you. No economy so broken, no hole so deep, no person so lonely, no fire so hot that you cannot come in and build your kingdom. God, I pray, whether it's drug addicts or alcoholics or people who have a tremendous facade going on, but inside they realize that they're broken, unhappy, unfulfilled. God, I pray that you would transform that right now. Forgive us our sins. God, may we have a desire to put your word in our heart and into action in our lives. We want to thank you for tuning in to Refresh, and hopefully we will see you at church this coming Sunday. Till then, we'll see you Monday here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. Everybody seems to think they got it coming, Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing.